Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be
good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome back to my new season of Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a show that discusses the complexities of women married to men who identify as gay, bisexual, and transgender to help on their road from discovery to recovery. If you have any questions for me or my guests, please email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I know some of you are really surprised that this show is now back on the air. As you, if you've been listening to my show, you know that last March I ended the show. I had to go into semi-retirement because I had other obligations that changed. However, ever since that time, I've been receiving at least 5 to 8 letters every week from listeners or past listeners who want to know, can I just come back sometimes, once in a while, because they've listened to the shows over and over again on the Blog Talk Radio archive, and they feel they need the support. So I said, absolutely. You know, I did what I had to do with the obligations I had for my job, and now I have some extra time. So I'm so happy I can spend it with my friends here on Blog Talk Radio, for the women that are part of my support network, and for other women who are in need of getting help and advice through this very, very traumatizing situation. So I have asked some of my women from my support group if they would be willing to join me on the show. So in the future, we'll be having stories like tonight from women who are going through this struggle. I'll also be having some of our past experts come back to sit and give you some really wonderful help and guidance as far as moving on and validating what you know and what you feel. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome my guest for tonight, Megan. And Megan, thank you so much for joining me on my first show back.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm so happy you're back. We need you.
Thank you so much. You cannot retire.
You're the best.
I appreciate it.
I'm so happy you're doing this.
Thank you, and thank you for participating with me, because you were kind enough to call in last season, when that's when we first met, and you were very helpful as far as telling your story. And I think that's one thing that's wonderful about this show, Megan, maybe you can agree with this, that when people hear stories, they connect, because the story, is different as it is for women, is always the same. It's so different, but all the feelings, the emotions, well, everything that you have to live through has the same emotional impact. Would you pretty much agree with that?
I totally agree with you. And there's that underlying emotional wave, and there's ups and downs, and that's why I like just your support groups and your Facebook page. It's just reading it, you know, every night before I go to bed, and there's just, you can identify with these women on, you know, on so many different levels, and there's good days and there's bad days, but it takes a while, and you know, you don't want to hear from people just get over it already, because it's hard to just get over it already. So I agree with
you
entirely.
Would you agree that these marriages are different than other marriages as far as recovering from them, because they are unique in many different ways than a regular marriage that goes bad?
Yes, I definitely believe that. I mean, it's not just a simple divorce where, you know, people for whatever reason cannot get along and they get a divorce, or one person finds someone else. And it's you know, people say, well, he fell in love with a man and not a woman. And I said that doesn't make it any easier, because that makes it just a little more complex. And you don't know what was real. Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with that whole situation. Let's talk a little bit about that. People often say the same thing to me. They say, well, you know, I feel much worse if he was cheating on me. Wouldn't you feel worse if he was cheating with a woman? And my answer is absolutely not. Why would I feel worse? Because I think that I'm just honest about this. This visualizing it for me is something that's really difficult. I mean, it would be hard if, you know, somebody I love is seeing a woman, but imagining him just closing my eyes and thinking about somebody I love with another man, it's just a different situation, right?
I'm laughing because it's so true. That's what I think about. Like, how could he be holding hands with a man? How could he be having sex with a man? Like, we were together. We have a family together. And that's, you're absolutely right. It's a visualization that just totally, I can't get to grips with. I can't understand it. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with, you know, people being gay, but to hide behind a family and to go one way and then, you know, he was married before and now he's second marriage. It's like, it's very bizarre to me. It's hard to really grasp it visually.
And it's a visual thing. And I think that many women grow, and I'm not defending this, I'm just explaining it, that many women grow up coming from religious backgrounds or from conservative backgrounds or from Southern backgrounds where this is totally unacceptable. And you're brought up your whole life that this is not what you are. And this is, you know, that maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but the point is, it's not you. And I think with the gay community, it's just that. It is a community that all of a sudden, once we find out we're married to a gay person, to a gay man, then we are now part of a community that we had no intention of joining. I mean, that was not on my radar when I got married. But yeah, we're dragged through that gay community, not by choice. Yeah. We're forced into it when we have a gay husband and children, right?
Right, right. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. It's beyond like my realm, beyond my moral realm, beyond my religion. And the thing that I'm not understanding is, you know, I'm a Catholic, you get married in the church, and, you know, he was a lector in our church. He actually was a lector in the church. And he was, you know, cheating, adultery, all those things. It's just, it's like a whole facade. It's like a whole farce. And it's hard to really... And then what do your kids, and then it's hard for the kids, because what are they, like, what was that all about? You know, how could you be a religious person and be so deceptive and so, you know, immoral to some extent?
Well, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about your story, about when you met, you know, and about your relationship before you got married.
Right. Well, I was married for 20 years. We have a child together. he was actually married prior. I was also, so the second marriage, I was very gun shy to begin with. You know, just person that was, as I said, elector of the church, very kind of, you know, good guy to some extent. People thought he was a good guy, but politician, you know, lawyer, things started to turn into that whole narcissistic persona. It's like, I'm going to run for politics. I want to be a judge. I'm going to be, you know, and all of a sudden everything was going right to his head. And, you know, things got weird and I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, the marriage was not going well and my kids realized that we were fighting a lot. And I just didn't, I thought he was sick. I thought he had some form of dementia or something. And basically bottom line is, you know, I figured it out from something on his phone and I called him on it and I had to have a third party involved being, you know, since he was a divorce attorney and a judge and everything else, he could lie through his teeth and manipulate me. And, you mm-hmm. know, it came out, but in a very reluctant manner and in a very angry manner. And that's the part that I couldn't believe that, you know, it was in front of a marriage counselor that he finally said, hey, so what's the big deal? And it was, he was very angry at me. I was obviously angry with himself and he couldn't come to terms with even apologizing at all. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a terrible situation. And having to explain that to his 18-year-old son, and it just the way it was handled, and that, I think that's part of the whole problem with these men. It's like if they could handle it better, if they could sit down with their family and their children, and do the right thing financially, which is one thing, and because it's no fault in most states. So you know, adultery is what it is, and you can't win in a courtroom, and it's a matter of, you know, morally doing the right thing, and for. I don't know, maybe other women have different stories, but in my case, it was handled totally and totally wrong. And that's where it becomes very destructive. And it's like a tsunami hit our house. And, you know, the lack of remorse, the lack of responsibility, the lack of coming to terms, and just at the expense of your family, of moving on as quickly as possible. You know, I mean, he's all over the place, traveling the world with his boyfriend, doing things he never did with his family. And I'm not jealous of that, but I'm like, wow, where did this come from? Where did this money come from? Where did your total desire to travel and see the world, which is something I always wanted to do, but he couldn't do it with me, but he's doing it with somebody else. You know,
yes.
It's crazy.
Well, that is a very major issue for many of our women that, and I know for me, certainly when, you know, my ex-husband and I were married, you know, that he had money to do everything he wanted to do, but nothing to do when it came to supporting me and the children. And,
exactly.
You know, I wasn't the kind of person who had the courage and the strength to go fight him in court. I'm the first to admit mm-hmm. to women, as I mentioned to you, you know, don't do what I say. Don't do what I do. You know, do what I say. Because I made right. that mistake of not going for child support because, you know, I was afraid or I felt sorry for him or I was afraid that he'd be too volatile about it. And as mm-hmm. a result, you know, he went and traveled and took trips and he took cruises. And I was sitting there working three jobs trying to support the kids. But, you know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, that was my mistake. And I always tell women, not going for child support is a big mistake. And the reason mm-hmm. why it's a big mistake is because you're cheating your children. You're cheating them mm-hmm. out of time that you could be spending with them, or you're cheating out of money that they could use for their education or for, you mm-hmm. know, whatever they need it for. But it's true. I mean, my ex was more than happy to go everywhere and not even think back about what's going to happen with the kids. So I
right.
can really,
right.
you know, commiserate with you on that.
Right. Right. But I think also from a legal standpoint, it's difficult
mm-hmm.
because, like, he was a lawyer and a judge. And, you know, they all are
right.
Asian. They know each other. And you can
absolutely.
Hide your money. You can hide your assets. And you're just paying legal
mm-hmm.
fees. And you're soaking up your legal fees to get minimal because they'll hide it anyway. So it doesn't matter, ultimately.
So that's
it's
why
a tough,
like to
it's a
my,
very tough process.
It is very tough. And we have a guest who comes on here every year, Mike from, you know, Linked Investigations. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would suggest to our women, listen to what he's telling you because he's wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
he can do a total, not very expensive investigation, of what they call a forensic investigation, where he can find
mm-hmm.
lots of hidden money that husbands have hidden in other bank accounts, other states, other countries. And sometimes just having that, you know, to go into the court with has worked wonderfully for men who keep saying they have nothing and they have it all hidden away. So, you know, if you need more information on that, you can just drop me a line at bonkaye@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you his information. You know, he has free consultations. He can give you good advice. He's not looking to get rich from you. He's really modest in his, you know, fees for us, for our group. So if any woman's having that problem, just let me know. But maybe you can tell me a few things also, Megan. How old were you when you met?
Okay, so 20 years. So I was 30, in my early 30s. I was like 30, probably 32-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't your first, you know, husband, right?
It was my second. No, it was my second marriage. I was married for the first time when I was 26. I was married for 5 years, and I got remarried. I was very gun-shy, as I said, and I got remarried to him like 7 years later around that time frame. Yeah.
And how was,
so
your,
was, in my
how
early
was your relationship
30s.
Before
yeah.
you got married? Did you have problems was, before you were married?
No. I was really smitten. I have to be honest with you. I thought he was just a nice, really nice, kind of sweet, kind of gentle person. And I trusted him. And I, you know, mm-hmm. he knew what I had gone through with my first marriage, and made it very clear. I'm like, you know, I'm very gun shy. I don't need to get remarried again. But I felt like I could trust him. I really did. And even my friends are like, oh, he's a good guy. He seems like a nice kind of milquetoast kind of guy that you can trust. That was kind of the mm-hmm. image he gave. And, you know, and things were fine. And as I said, I was married for 20 years. It was like the last 5 years that were just really hard. And, you know, my kids saw it, and the fighting and the anger and in him and the behavioral pattern. And, you know, at one point he said he had gone on some antidepressant drugs and he went off them, and he was just belligerent and just a lot of mood swings and forgetfulness. And as I said, I thought he was sick. I thought he was ill. I thought he had dementia or also, you know, something mental. And this really took me, or he was having an affair with a woman and he didn't know how to tell me because he knew it would destroy me. And this pretty much destroyed me more than that, because this just blew me away. And the way, as I said, I don't think he would have admitted it to me at all if I hadn't figured it out. And I think the fact that he was involved with a lover for years, I mean, he was obviously with other men, but this person he was with, this young guy he was with for the past, he's already now, I mean, it's like on his third or fourth year. So he was, you know, having a full-blown affair with a guy for over 2 years with, you know, a family. And that's the part that I just still can't understand, how he cannot have no feelings of remorse. And he thinks it's fine. It's like he thinks we should just be one big happy family. Well, I haven't spoken to him over a year, so I don't know. But it's, yeah. No.
How did your children take it when they found out?
You know, it's interesting. As I said, my younger one, it's his child, and I don't think he, to this day, knows how to handle it. It's a very tough, he's a very tough kid. He's a very grounded kid. I think they're actually relieved that I did something finally. I think that they knew all along, like for the past couple of years, that we should not be together, and they didn't know why. And they knew that he was just not a good person to me, and he was mistreating me, and that we were fighting all the time. And, you know, high school years, it's very hard to see your parents fighting like that. So I think they probably, to some extent, are relieved, and they're happy that I was able to figure it out so that I could, you know, kick him out and divorce and have my own life. And they want me to really be happy. I know that. And they are both doing, and they're just great kids, and they're doing what they have to do to move on. And they want, they're very protective of me, and they want me to be strong, and they just want me to be happy. And I think the bottom line is, I think they're actually relieved that it's over. That's what it is. But I think emotionally, it probably is still kind of a hard thing to digest. Especially, you know, for my younger son.
So let me ask you this question. You were there for a number of years with him. And were there any red flags for you during those years?
The last year was just obviously was just the distance, the emotional disconnect was crazy. Obviously a physically disconnect, emotional disconnect, couldn't look me in the eye, couldn't hold my hand, couldn't even touch me. That was weird. But apart from that, his concern with his physique, you know, obviously he was always concerned with his physique, always in the gym, working out, but much more so looking in the mirror, checking tighter jeans, you know, certain things I found in our medicine cabinet. Like, he was just getting, it was a little bit too meticulous. But a couple of weird things, like going to a Halloween party and dressing in my skirt and my tights. Like, that was bizarre. And that kind of was like, whoa, like it was really disturbing. There was some disturbing aspects of it, and there was just a lot of anger and a lot of distance and a lot of disconnect and a lot of belligerent, angry behavior, screaming and yelling, you know, and just blurting out things like, a divorce wouldn't be the end of the world, like in the middle of dinner, you know, in front of our kid, or in front of our son. Just crazy things that just didn't, I couldn't explain what was going on. And he was just too much of a coward to sit us down and say, this is what is going on in my life. And as I said, if I hadn't found it on his phone, God only knows how he would have even told us if he would have told us. You know, I don't know how you can carry on a full-blown other second life without finally coming to terms with it. Mm-hmm. That's what he was doing.
And how about now? What is he doing? What is he doing now?
I don't know. I know bits and pieces through social media. I don't personally. I want nothing to do with him. I have absolutely no contact with him. But you know, considering he's a local judge in our community that I moved away from, I actually moved out west. For other personal reasons, to get away from the whole situation. I know that he's very out there from a gay standpoint. He's traveling, as I said, the world. He's going to places that, you know, Peru and Spain and Italy and all over the place and participating in tons of gay stuff. And, you know, he's fully out there, and he's living his life and he's living the dream, and you know, he's doing himself, you know, he's living the narcissistic selfish life that he wants to live, and at, you know, not even thinking about anybody but himself, it, you know, in my regard. But you know, as I said, I don't really have contact, I don't want to have contact, but through social media, I hear bits and pieces. Let's put it that way.
How's your son feel about this?
I don't know. I don't ask him what he knows and doesn't know. He's old enough. He's in college. He's doing well in school. He's moved across the country. He doesn't talk about it. And he knows I'm there for him 100%. He knows that he can talk to me at any time. I think that he doesn't want to talk about it because I think he knows a lot of things, obviously, through social media, but he doesn't want to upset me. And I think he wants to block it out of his mind. I think he just wants to block it out of his mind and live his own life. And he wants me to live his own life.
Yes. I know that children really struggle with this, and a lot of times they can't express it or they're embarrassed to express it. And especially young boys, like teenage boys, they really have difficulty in expressing themselves. I know that my son, who very sadly died at the age of 23, but he was very combative with his father about this. He questioned his own sexuality, which I think is a very big thing that goes on with males, more so than females, about, you know, their sexuality, because they worry, did I inherit this from my father? How did my father get it? Is it genetic, you know, because everybody has a different story. But I have found a lot of people who brag who actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. How about
difficult.
Your older son?
Yeah.
You have an older son also, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's doing great. He's totally removed himself from the situation. As I said, he's very protective of me. He really has nothing to do with him. I don't think he had too much respect for him even growing up,
mm-hmm.
because he just saw the way, you know, the lack of, you know, any kind of empathy or connect or family. And I think he's doing totally fine. He, as I said, once again, he's relieved. They're both relieved,
mm-hmm.
to some extent. But I worry about, you know, I do worry about my younger one from an emotional standpoint, because there are times where, it's hard for him to open up, and it's a tough age.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, he's in college and he's starting his life over, and we're all trying to just start our lives over. And, you know, we all value family and we value tradition, and we have a small family, which is a good thing. And I think that it's important that we just know what, you know, especially in this day and age, it's like what grounds you and what keeps you together as a family. And, you know, we don't like the drama, and we just, it's the morals and simplicity, you know. This really shook us all up, because it was something just, you know, it just as I said, it was a tsunami that hit the family.
Right, you know, it's not on our radar to know how to navigate these situations, because there's
right.
certainly marriages that fail for many other reasons. And, you
right.
know, people have some kind of pathway, because it happens a lot. You know, a lot of people get divorced. So you have a better right. navigation tool there. But when you find out that
right.
your husband is gay, and how many years were you married before you found out he was gay?
Oh, 20.
So that's a very long stretch of time to
it's
be deceived
for,
right?
It's a very long time. Mm-hmm. Very long time. Yes.
And you know that he's doing something, you just can't put a finger on it. And then if you
right.
even approach it, they tell you you're crazy and you don't know what you're talking about. And
right.
Was he interested
and the fact
in going
that he was
for
married,
help for this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Was he interested in going for any kind of marriage counseling with you?
Oh, he wasn't interested at all. He, when it was like, he had no interest in. I tried several times to go to a marriage counselor, and he got lost getting there. He would walk in late, scream and yell at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was hiding. He was covering up. You know, he was hiding, and he knew it was going to come out eventually. So,
right.
you know, fortunately, I figured it out, and I went to the marriage counselor when I figured it out as a third party to just say, okay, look, because I knew that he would lie about it and manipulate me and everything else. And this is being a lawyer and a judge. He's very good at that. And,
mm-hmm.
And the marriage counselor was instrumental in really coming, everything came to fruition, and it was like, whoa. And even after, you know, everything happened, we went to court a few times, and he didn't even want to pay the $200 for the marriage counselor, because he said it was my fault. You know, everything was my fault. You know, it was my fault. My fault that you're gay. You know, it's my fault that we have to go to a marriage counselor. Everything's about money. We all know that. And it was about not paying the bills. And it was about revenge. But the ironic thing was, like, it was almost like revenge on his part. It was so, I don't know what the expression is, candlelighting, or that they twist it and they turn it so that everything is my fault all of a sudden.
Exactly.
Like, and,
exactly.
You know, the concern was, you know, kick him out of the house, and the concern is, could you get me my sunglasses, my passport, and my white T-shirts, okay? I mean, this was like our life was destroyed, and he wanted three items so that he could get on a plane and travel the world with his boyfriend. Like, it was crazy. It was just the narcissistic, the whole thing that you write about in your books. It's unbelievable. It's like textbook. It's a textbook case.
Well, thank you for that. But, you know, it's amazing that I think these divorces are so different than, you know, when you divorce somebody who's straight. No divorce is a good divorce. They all hurt, and they all bring, you know, terrible situations. But I still feel it's much easier to recover when you have a straight husband that you're divorcing than a gay husband. You know, we have all the symptoms as other women have who are using, you know, they're building. But the point is that we have a lot more to contend with. So, in other words, whatever issues that straight women have to their straight husbands, we have those issues plus a whole bucket of other issues that they don't have to deal with. And once again, I think just the being brought into the gay community, which is not a community that we chose to be part of. And I do want to be really clear on this, that I think almost every single one of us, we were very pro-gay prior to the time of marriage. Did your ex-husband ever discuss gay with you in any way? Not about himself, but just in general?
He had a problem with gays, you know. He, and being like, you know, and, you know, Catholic, and he didn't. It was interesting because I, you know, I always thought his best friend from college was gay, and I'd say, oh, I think your friend from college is gay, and it was his best friend. So don't say that, like, you know, that's a negative thing. And so he was a little bit of a homophobic, you know. He, you know, he definitely, as I said, I said, well, what's wrong with that? And he said, oh, don't say that. Like, it was almost like, I said, okay, I won't say it. But that was also.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you're aware
of
this, but this happens. Yeah, this happens to a lot of women, including my ex-husband. He was very homophobic too. And you know, in the beginning, many years ago when I first discovered all of this, I didn't understand why he was talking against gays, or he would call them names. Oh, he's what they call this, or they call that. You know, some derogatory gay name. And it's because they're really trying to throw you off. And they themselves do not make a connection to gay men who are outwardly gay. You know, they don't want to feel like you're going to find something out if they act or don't look as long, you know, don't respond in the same way. You know, they're so afraid of being discovered and uncovered, as I like to call it. And so they are very homophobic, much more so than we are.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a very good point. Yep. I could see, I now thinking back on it, I do see that tendency. You know? They're almost
Now, my ex-husband used to say all the time that he knows he's good-looking because gay men always tell him that. Now, I wouldn't find that a compliment, but I know that other women with gay husbands say hear the same things. Do you hear that at all?
Right. I'm laughing. I would hear, like, him looking in the mirror and, like, with his new tight jeans and say, how do I look? I'm pretty good-looking, aren't I?
That's what mine
was
say all the time.
And he heard it. Yeah. You know, he heard it from people. Interesting.
Did other people ever tell you they think he's gay?
Nobody. It was just shocker to everyone. Especially since he had been married before, you know? And it really shocked pretty much the whole community. But as I said, in now looking back on it, you know, I saw a couple of signs here and there.
I think we may see signs, but we don't connect the dots.
Yeah.
You know, because it's such a far-reach thing. Why would you think your husband's gay?
Right.
You know, they married you. They had sex with you.
Right.
They had children with you.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't the best sex, but it was sex. You know, it wasn't like we're socialized to believe that gay people are attracted to other people of the same sex. You know,
that's how I look back. Right. And that's like when I think about it, like, and it's weird. It's in the back of my mind a lot, like almost every day. I think about it. And like you said, you try to connect the dots. And I'm like, so that's why that happened. And that's why when we were at that bar, he was looking at that.
Exactly.
Like, you just try to put the pieces together. And then just the idea that he's, as I said, traveling around and in love with a guy for the past now it's almost 3.5 years. You know, is he going to get married to this person? Is he taking him to the family Christmas parties? Like, do they hold hands on the airplane? It's a very weird concept to come to terms with. And that's where I agree with you. It's different from taking off with a woman. It's totally different set of emotions. It's just, you just can't understand it sometimes. you know?
No, I had a really difficult time, you know, making that connection. And I didn't understand. Mm. And of course, for me, it was so many years ago. It was back in the 1970s when I first found out. And, you know, we just didn't know as much as we know today with AIDS and with HIV and with other kinds of diseases that are brought about, you know, to us through our gay partners. And those were the marriages that made me cry so much back in the 1980s when AIDS was just coming out, or in the early 90s. And I used to have calls from women who were dying, leaving behind orphans, but their fathers were dying too. And so, you know, I could understand back in those days why people really didn't want to be gay, and they really didn't understand it themselves. So they were hoping, against hope, that they could go and meet a woman who they like, who will marry them or be with them. You know, that's going to turn them straight or get rid of those nagging feelings. So I do understand how it happens and why it happens, but what I don't understand is that once you know it's happened, and once you've come to terms with who you are, why do you have to be so compartmentalized about it and keep living his lie?
Right. And that's especially really nowadays. Because, I mean, back when it happened to you, I think it was more taboo, and it was really more like you had to keep it quiet. And now, as we discussed, they have all the support they need. They can go to these countries and have everything available to them, and the gay parades and the gay bars and the gay restaurants and all this. What about people, what about women who have been through this? Like, what kind of support system do we have? You know, who, why do they have all the accolades and all the support? And why are we, they're, you know, they present themselves like victims, but they've got everything, everything that they need. And, you know, we're left to hold the bag. We're left to take care of the kids. We're left financially to pick up the pieces, whatever, at their expense of just being a coward. I mean, I don't know what the right word is, but, you know, they're shameless. They don't have any shame. They have no feelings of any empathy. So
I agree with you, and I think that one of the points that I'd like to tell women is that you're just finding out, and you're going through shock. Because that's what you feel like when you're finding this. But they've been spending 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, they're married to you, planning on how to have a gay life. You know, it's not like they're just finding out. They've always known it. And so now we have to, first of all, acclimate our feelings towards where they are in their own travel and journey. But while we're sitting and grieving, because some of these marriages, women really love their husbands up until the end. You know, they've had good marriages.
I agree.
Not the majority, I have to be honest. Most of our women don't have the majority of good marriages. But there are a number of them that, you know, they were the best friends with their husbands. They thought they were anyway. So they're not only losing just a husband, they're losing a best friend. And when they're losing him, they're not getting him back because he is what he is. And he's come to terms with it. And now you're going to have to come to terms with it, whether you like it or you don't. I mean, you know, you don't have any choices in this. And I think that's
and your kids have to come to terms with it.
They don't have
it.
A choice.
Right, right. And the kids have to deal, and everyone has had to come to terms with it. You know, at the, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It's and the way that they handle it, and it's just. You know, if they could just be true to themselves and true to the people around them, it would make a big difference. And they also know the legal system works in favor. So.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when they know what they're doing.
Right.
Which isn't a lot, but sometimes they do.
Right. I have a question.
So, Megan, have you ever met his...
You know... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was wondering if you ever met his boyfriend.
No, that's what I was going to actually say to you. My question is, like, how do these men that take off with married men that are, you know, what, 20 years older than them, that have children, have families, how do they, I would love to get in their minds, how do they feel about this? Like, you know, these people, they know the guy's married, they know he has a family, they know he's going to have to get divorced, and they're just living their life like I got, you know, my sugar daddy, or I got my you know, boyfriend here. I would love to sit down with this guy and say, what were you really thinking here? How could you do this to a family, you know?
I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of these guys are very manipulative, you know, the husbands. And I hear this story because I work a lot of with what I call other men, the other man, you know, and he's in a kind of similar situation to us. because he's being fed lies by your husbands and told that, you know, he's never done anything, but he always knew he was gay and he was always suffering. But now that he's met you, he realizes that this is who he is and he wants to spend the whole rest of his life with you. And, you know, these guys really fall for it. They really do. You know, they really feel like now they're going to be helping this guy come to terms with himself. He was leaving his wife anyway because they're game players, and almost 90% of these men are just game players. And they make up stories that they've never done this before, so you're going to be the one to guide them through it. You know, and I mean, I think some of these guys, I really believe in my heart, they are just really good men who found the wrong man because they found a man without a conscience who has no plans of ever leaving, you know, or being with you. I would say in 90% of the cases, you know, 10% of men eventually do leave to go with them. But once again, how do you trust somebody like that to start with? Because they've been deceiving their own wives for all that time. And now you're going to be with them, but is he going to be true to you? Because these guys, like, so, they play games. They're going to keep playing games. Yeah,
so the monogamy is questionable. I mean, are they monogamous? I think some. I think they are, right? I mean, if you have a relationship for 2 years, 3 years, that's going to probably wind up amounting to something, right? I mean,
I don't know. You know, I'll tell you the truth, Megan, that I don't know how loyal anybody is to anybody in these relationships. They have a different value, many of them, than what we would do in our own lives. And some of them are free to have open relationships with other guys and make it a three-way or do all kinds of things that we wouldn't think to do. And it doesn't bother them at all. You know, they're fine doing this. But,
and they have,
know,
like, these sauna Sundays, and they go to the gym and they go to the sauna and whatever. I don't know what they do, but it's pretty, there's nothing, it's a different set, they think on a different level.
Yeah, it's a totally different value system. So, but I think I really feel bad for a lot of these guys who I work with who come to me, you know, looking for advice or looking how, you know, things can go better for them. You know, because I know that these guys, most of them are game players. They're not going to give up what they have. You know, it's not like they have wonderful, loving marriages, but they are comfortable. They have a certain level of comfort and style. They're financially secure. You know, and then all of a sudden, so they're not thinking those same kind of terms. They're thinking of having my cake and eating it too kind of terms. That I can have a family and I can have a boyfriend and I don't have to split up one over the other. You know, they want it all. Without any regard.
True.
And I can't tell you how many of our women now have sexually transmitted diseases, you know, which is something that we don't talk about enough. It's because they're still having sex with their husbands. May not be a lot. It may not be great, but they're still having sex with them. And about 20, we've got in our group, about 20% of the women who have sexually transmitted diseases, and I mean all kinds, from anywhere from HIV and AIDS all the way up to, you know, all kinds of issues they come up with.
Oh, it's terrible.
And it's bad to see women, you know, now women are living with it, but it still has to alter the way that you do things.
Absolutely.
And these men have no consideration. They're just out there screwing, you know, other men and then bringing it home to their wives.
It's unbelievable.
Right? I find that most freaking
They have no conscience. They have no, you know, I mean, we were talking about this on the last time we spoke about whether they're sociopaths or psychopaths. I don't know what the true difference is, but there's no conscience here at all.
Well,
I mean,
that's the whole point. And they're also usually very narcissistic as well.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
absolutely.
I've met some wonderful gay husbands who've done the right thing. And when I say the right thing, it means be financially responsible to your family. And tell your family the truth. Don't lie or make it like it's your mom's fault. You know, and try to place the blame where it doesn't belong, because that's not very trustworthy either, right?
Absolutely. And don't, you know, and come to terms with it and accept it as an adult, and don't live a separate life and expect it never to come out in the open, you know. And then
usually
be angry
it always does.
when you do. Yeah. I don't know. I read somewhere. I'm sorry. Did he tell?
Did you tell your friends?
Covered up. No, he wanted. It was part of the original agreement that defamation of character and all these things. You know, him being a lawyer. And, you know, he had to tell the people he wanted, the select people that he wanted to discuss it with. And, you know, and that was another thing that was just, you know, people are like, well, why are you getting divorced? I don't understand this. Like, I said, well, you know, let him tell you. And, you know, I gave him that initially, and it was more to protect my son than anything. It wasn't really to protect him, but it was to protect my son. And he is who he is. And then he basically went to the local restaurant bar, and I was told that he basically just announced it and said, hey, this is the deal, and I'm having a party, and I came out, and it's great, and I've got a boyfriend. So, you know, after the initial shock, he was raring to go. He was very happy to make the world know that he was out. And, you know, he still lives I'm living out west, but he's in our local town, bought a house, you know, all cash, hid all his assets, and he goes to the gym every day, he goes to the local restaurants, the bars, and he's there, and he doesn't care. He's happy that he is who he is, you know.
And he's not trying to hide it anymore?
Oh, please, definitely not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
You know, he's proud. He's happy about it. He's proud of it.
Mm-hmm. And how do your friends react? I mean, are they proud of him too, thinking, oh, he's come to terms with himself?
It's interesting. As I said, I moved out. I moved across the country. I moved out west for other reasons. I'm going back east in a couple of days, and I don't know who to trust. That's the bottom line. And I think a lot of the friends that we had, the mutual friends, the couples, you know, you see things on Facebook, like, you know, he's traveling here and there, and you see like a like from a couple of the guys, which, you know, I think people don't know how to handle it. And I know he has a whole new group of friends in the gay community, but out of our close friends, I'm very limited and I'm very cautious as to who I talk to about my business, about my son's business, because I truly do not trust that a lot of it is not going back, you know, back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very careful. I'm a very trusting, honest person, but this has taught me to just kind of keep things under wrap a little more and to keep my mouth shut and to not fully tell my story to everyone, because I have been disappointed, let's put it that way. And, you know, some people, some neighbors that I thought were going to kind of say, wow, he just mishandled this and it's terrible what happened, I've realized that they have that mentality of get over it already. And it's not the end of the world,
exactly.
And it happens every day. And I don't want to, that's not the support that I need. And I just have decided like that, I'm going to steer away from that mentality because that's not the way it is, you know.
There's also no given time for mourning and grieving. I think this is a mistake people make too. You know, people say, well, you know, this happened 6 months ago, this happened a year ago, this happened 2 years ago. Why are you still so hung up on it?
Right. Right.
But
exactly.
The point remains that this is the, you know, situation that we're in is just so incredibly painful for so many women. And people have to keep in mind that if you were with somebody 365 days a year, and every day when you get home and you're excited, you're going to see the person is looking for you. You know, not to have a wonderful time with you, but to make you feel even worse. And I think knowing that you're not going to be feeling great about yourself because somebody's going to be really making you feel just so low about yourself. This is what I resent so much. I mean, look, life happens in regular marriages. Things don't work out. People get divorced. Life goes on. But it's not that simple with these marriages. It's just not like it's over and done with. It's over now. A million problems have cropped up with it to get done with it.
Right. I was going to say, it's the different levels that pop up and every step of the way. Like, you know, now I'm dealing with, you know, it's my son who's 20 years old and his emotional, you know, stability. Aside from the fact that, you know, he's been through this situation, and then you deal with the financial part of things, and you deal with, and also you'd realize, like, you know, you thought you were going to be with this person for the rest of your life. You thought you were going to retire with them. You thought they were going to have them by your side, and they jump ship on you, and they're living a totally different life that you thought that you're living, because they're doing, they're out there, and you're like trying to man the fort and trying to pull in, you know, and trying to just pull in the anchor, you know, and just keep things stable and consistent with your family and with your parents and whatever else you have, other responsibilities, and they have no responsibilities. They're just doing, living their life at 60 years old, which is
exactly
it just
living
makes
their
it,
dream,
you know,
no matter how old it is,
right,
and leaving us behind.
Right.
And that's what I find so hurtful.
Right. I think it's a lot of anger still that I, as I said, I'm struggling. I'm still in that stage. I'm going in between anger and I guess a little bit of a depression, but not really, because I'm trying to just do things and keep busy. But it's very hard because you doubt reality. You doubt what was real in the marriage or what was just totally, what was just a facade and what was not real, you know, and there's so many levels. And that's when people
exactly.
just get over it. You know, there's a lot. Yes, there's a lot of worse things, and there's sickness, and there's death, and there's. But it's a hard thing to explain if you haven't been through it. It's a very hard thing.
Exactly.
And
as I say, people can say they're sorry, or I'm sorry you're going through that, but they really have no idea what we're going through. It's just such a unique
right.
situation. And
right.
the worst part is, once you say that word "gay," you're virtually saying your marriage is over. You know, this is not something that can be fixed. This is not something that can change.
Right.
So once, you know, we're taken with that, as much as we don't want to listen to it or pay attention to it because we're afraid of it, and we
right.
should be.
Right.
Because it doesn't
right.
leave a positive connotation in your head, right?
Right, right, exactly. And I think it's funny when you tell people, like, oh, I'm divorced. What happened? Oh, I was married for 20 years, and he took off with a guy. He's gay. It's funny how
right.
people have different reactions. Some people say, oh, I'm so sorry. And other people say, oh, it happens all the time. You know, it's an interesting, right, the world we live in. It's totally, you know, you get a different
reaction.
It's
a totally mixed up, crazy world. And that's why I say my heart
yep.
goes out to anyone who has to live with this situation. You know, whether your husband identifies as gay. Now, I'm just using the term identifies as, because, you know, you say either, I say either, you say straight, I say gay. You know, they would like to not be gay, so they'll call themselves straight. But
right.
I tell women, you know, if your husband has any interest at all in a penis, excuse the frankness of this, it's gay that he's thinking of. But it's the truth. I would say the penis is the dividing line. You know, between
right.
straight and not straight. So now I don't even make them say they're gay or they're bisexual or transgender. I just say they're unstraight. You know, they're the unstraight man. And,
exactly.
You know, any form of, you know, unstraight is not a way to have to live for any woman. Always wondering when your husband's walking out the door who he's going to be meeting. You know, because they
right.
are very sneaky and they do it behind your back and they build a whole life outside
right.
of you that you don't even know about. But then
right.
when you find out about it, then, you know, doubt is always in your mind because it's always going to be happening.
Right.
It's not
right.
like they're going to change it for better, right?
Right. Well, the hours spent at the gym, now it explains to me, you know. I mean, in a way, it's closure for me. It makes me almost feel better that now I know that the hours and hours he'd spend at the gym, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
where he was. That's what he was doing. He was eyeing men and he was doing whatever they do.
Meeting
I don't know what they do,
them.
But
yep.
Yeah, meeting up. So it explains,
yeah,
at least explains some of his absence, you know, right.
And they usually are in straight gyms, not gay gyms. You know, a lot of times women
yeah.
make that mistake and think, shoo, thank goodness he's not gay because he's going to a straight gym. But
doesn't
they have
matter,
plenty of
right?
gay men in these straight gyms. No,
right.
I think there's more in straight gyms than there are in gay gyms, believe it or not.
That makes sense. That makes sense. They're
because,
covering, yeah,
they're
the
not
same
necessarily
thing.
They're looking for, they don't want a full-time relationship. They just want to hook up.
Right.
And so, you know.
Right.
If they were looking for a full-time relationship, then they could go to the gay gym because that's where people like that would go. But when
right.
they're just looking for
right.
anonymous sex or, you know, just encounters or, you know, then they're going to go to the straight gym.
Right.
Where
right.
unstraight men hang out waiting for other unstraight
right.
men. But,
right.
you know, it's so sad because I think that, did you feel like once you knew that you couldn't trust anymore?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Once I knew that,
do you feel that
I
once you found
you.
Out, once you found out, did you feel that you can't just trust him anymore?
Oh,
when he would go out.
I mean, I couldn't. I mean, trust him or just trust in general?
Right, trust him. No, trust him that he was.
No, I couldn't believe when I found. I mean, I wasn't sure what I was looking at when I found his phone, and it was. It was something, it was sexting with the guy, but it wasn't his boyfriend. It was just some random person. And it was just a miracle that I was able to unlock this phone and figure it out. It was an absolute miracle. It was like 4:30 in the morning. And that's when I went to the marriage counselor. Like, I kicked him out of the house over Christmas. And like 2 weeks later, or a week later, I said, we're going before a third party. And I said, who is this? What is this? And of course, he'd grab the phone and threaten to like throw it, you know, whatever, delete it and throw it against the wall. And he said, it's nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And I go, who is this person? It's just some random person from the gym. Okay. So I'm thinking, this was a random person from the gym, and this is the way you're sexting with a random person. I'm like, so what's really going on? And that's when like the floodgates opened. And it's just like, oh, well, you know, I've been with a guy for over 2 years. Like, kind of like, what's the big deal? You know, it was unbelievable, the lack of any sense of any remorse. I mean, it was just anger, and like, it was like a kid that got caught with his hand in a cookie jar. That's how it made it seem like this, it not even an important thing. And it was just, you know, just like, what's the big deal? And that's it. And that's when I said, are you gay? And there was no hesitation. And he said, absolutely. Yes, I am. So there wasn't even, and I wonder if he hadn't fallen in love with a guy, and if it wasn't in a relationship and he'd just been with random men, you know, I wonder if he would have tried to come out, like, you know, and said, no, I'm actually bisexual. Because what you said is absolutely true. I think if you have any interest at all in anything, or
exactly,
that's it. It's done. You're over. But why can't they figure this out when they're in their teens? You know,
Well, I think they, you know, I think a lot of them just figure it out. And they were just hoping against hope that if they could have a relationship with a woman, even if they had those attractions, that they would go away.
Right.
I mean, I do believe in almost all cases, men who get married who are gay really don't try to do it to trick them, you know, to trick the woman. They're just trying to trick Mother Nature for themselves. And
right.
Hoping
against
hope
with you.
That they have the feelings and desires if they have a wife and a family and they're happy. And it
right.
worked for a while for a lot of these men. That's the problem, too. They get confused also.
Right.
How is it I'm able to
right.
love my wife, make love to my wife, even if it's not great, but they don't necessarily know that. And,
right.
you know, have children with her. And yet, I still have these attractions to men. And they don't identify as gay because they're with
mm-hmm.
you. You know, as long as they can have a wife and children, and they don't have to believe they're gay. They can just have indiscriminate
right.
sex, not think about
mm-hmm.
it, not identify it, not clarify it,
right.
and just go through the lives
right.
like that. And I know, Megan, it's hard to believe, but I know men who do this for 30, 40, 50 years.
Wow.
And they just,
yep.
they're out there having sex.
Right.
Not with their wives,
they look
but
at,
with other men.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I would still
right.
live and be glad your husband's not having sex to you because you don't know what he's going to bring home to you.
Right. Exactly.
And I tell every woman she must get tested. You know, once you've had relationships with a man who's having sex with men, you got to get tested.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Definitely.
Because a lot of our women find themselves, you know, with all kinds of STD. So very sadly,
yep.
our time is over. I can't believe how fast this
okay.
hour went.
Oh, Bonnie,
I really
thank
appreciate
you, so
you coming so much. Will you come back again, you know, in a few months? Because I think you have so much great
to.
Insight you can shed. That'll be wonderful. And to all
I
of our listeners listening tonight, thank you so much. And if any of you want to write to Megan, you can just send it to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to forward it to her. And thank you for listening again to our premiere show. I will be back to all of you. Love to all of you for the new year. Megan, thank you so much for being part of this network and helping out so many people by telling your story. And we'll have you back in
thank
a few
you,
months.
Thank you, Bonnie.
All right. Good night
thank
to
you.
Everybody. Bye-bye.